WBOB.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Nikki Whaley. Jacksonville shoppers are unhappy about losing Publix, may soon have another option. The city council yesterday discussed an incentives package to bring Winn-Dixie to Northside's Gateway Shopping Center. Now, Winn-Dixie would occupy the spot on Norwood Avenue that Publix will vacate next month. The incentives include an $850,000 grant to help renovate the building, and a vote to approve the offer could take place next month. Grocery stores across the state are getting ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, and the American Farm Bureau Federation says that a cost on average this year's fees for 10 people is $48.91, or just a little under $5 per person. The turkey costs slightly less than this time last year at $20.80 for a 16-pound bird. Ham served along with turkey at half of the dinners in the country, which boosts the cost of the dinner by about $14. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
At I-295 going south this morning, San Jose Boulevard, a broken-down car now in the right breakdown lane, 95 North Southside Boulevard. There is an accident, and the cars are now both in the left and right emergency lanes that were in the wreck. And if you're in St. Johns County, State Road 9B North at Racetrack, there's a car there that has stalled. Today we'll see a mix of sunshine and clouds, a high of 79. Tonight mainly clear, 59 the low. Right now 51 at WBOB. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement in the upcoming legislative session. State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation is seen as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical hair relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers. And President Trump held a rally in Sunrise, Florida on Tuesday, the first public event for the president here in the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from Trump Tower in New York City to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Ed Dean Show on WBOB. This is Ron Davis covering for Ed today, who is taking a much-deserved break. Phone number 904-831-0600. I am so excited to have Matt Schellenberg here in the studio this morning.
Well, he's the mayor. Matt's the mayor of Mandarin. By the way, you're on the Charter Review Commission, and is one of the things you guys are considering is making Mandarin its own local town where you could have your own mayor and city council?
No, but to get that done, I think it's one of those unique things. We have 420 cities in the state of Florida, and I think that certain groups would be better off being themselves like the beaches are.
Yeah, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville Beach, Neptune, they're their own cities in addition to being in Jacksonville.
Right.
And they're smaller than Mandarin.
In totality, Mandarin would be bigger at this point. And I think that government closer to the people is best.
Would it be a tax increase for people in Mandarin?
Yes, but they would be willing to do it because they would actually be able to take care of themselves, like better parks, better taking care of the roads, more specifically, having more sidewalks, which I think is a community gathering kind of place.
Sidewalks and bicycle paths,
yes,
I think, are a huge problem, in it, especially bicycle paths. They have them in Florida, but they're obviously the laws for how they get set up were written by people who don't ride bikes because it makes you vulnerable to being hit by a car way they're set up compared to how they're done in other cities.
This is one of those not good planning kind of things. Back in Mandarin used to be orange groves and farms. They didn't want any sidewalks, okay? Now everybody wants sidewalks. You go to Nocatee and Barton Springs, they have not only 4-foot wide sidewalks, but they have 6 and 8 foot because they want people to be wandering
around.
And
there's a barrier with grass between the cars and the sidewalks.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Which is not the case with bicycle paths.
Correct, because they're right there on San Jose coming up, and you got about 3-foot space. Do you ride a bike, Ron?
I try. Looking at me is hard to believe that, but I would try to ride a bike.
if we had better designed, safer bicycle paths in the city, I probably would ride bikes. But right now, I just think it's too dangerous. You're taking your life in your own hands.
Well, I don't want to get too far down this path here.
Why not? Ed'll, it's not a path.
Ed will call in and yell at us.
No, oh, I don't know. Why wouldn't this be of interest to people that we should have?
No, I agree. And one of my problems with riding on the sidewalks.
And Ed's a fitness enthusiast.
Yeah, I gotcha. One of the problems I have with riding the sidewalks is a lot of the sidewalks in town are so uneven.
Yes.
They've just fixed a bunch over by my house. And you know, for the kids riding their bikes, especially if you're riding a road bike. I don't have a problem with people who ride road bikes in the middle of the road. But, you know, there are certain times of the day maybe you shouldn't. It's like maybe the train shouldn't come through town at certain parts of the dot. You know, if you're in rush hour traffic, maybe you shouldn't have a 12 or 15 bike riders out there, you know, on a two-lane street in the middle of the road. But at the end of the day, you know, it's I think these wider paths would alleviate and allow people. Baldwin Trail is awesome, by the way.
I have a friend that's a long way to go, but they say it's fabulous. But my problem is you're talking about people riding bikes. Mandarin Road's a beautiful road, and I haven't been complaining. That's why I want sidewalks. I want people other than people on motorcycles or cars to enjoy the beauty of the Mandarin Road. And the only way you can do that is have sidewalks so you can walk it or a bike path that you can have bikes. I mean, I was talking about motorcycles and cars, but actual bikes just to enjoy the beauty of Mandarin Road. Exactly. And there's many other roads.
And it's
in
not
Jackson
just Mandarin, but it's all over town that would be benefit.
Right.
I'm looking online at some bike paths that I think are safer, like the one I'm looking at right now. I'm not sure which community this is in, but you've got street, and then you've got a little section of grass. Then you have a bicycle path. And then you've got, it looks like some type of railing. I'm not saying we need to go that far, but the bicycle path is more sunken than the sidewalk. So it's safe for everyone.
I think it's probably all new communities. And now you might be talking about Mandarin Springs, which is, it isn't mostly in Duval County, but it's near Racetrack Road.
Okay. Well,
yes, sir.
Well, it makes it safe for kids going to and from school. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A lot of safety factors, but
I used to ride my bike to school. Back in the day,
yeah, my kids ride to school, and I know, you know, that they'd rather ride in the grass sometimes because that's easier to ride on than some of the sidewalks.
Well, this goes back to infrastructure. Why aren't we taking care of the things that are essential for quality of life here in Jacksonville instead of worrying about all the things about downtown? It's the people that live out in the community.
That's a very good point.
No, seriously, I don't understand why we don't have more engagement with sidewalks and getting built quicker. Do private contractors, get them out there.
Right.
Show people that you care. And if there's cracked sidewalks, call the city and get it taken care of, because they have a contract for a guy, and maybe only one guy right now, but to have sidewalks repaired. Take care of it. If you see an issue, a potholes or anything, call the city and get a trip number. Find out why aren't they taking care of within a week or two or a month or two instead of 9 months. Find out what is the problem.
Will the city take care of, you know, problems with sidewalks and potholes and that kind of thing if you're inside of a subdivision?
If it's a public road, absolutely.
So if it's not gated, then the city is responsible to fix that sidewalk or street.
No, let's start it again. If it's a public road.
What's the definition of a public road?
It's not a private road. So inside gated community might very well be a private road.
Right, but if it's not gated, then...
It's not gated, but public road, public anything. This is a quality of life issue. Right, just all you have to do is send COJ, call COJ.net, tell them what the problem is, exactly where the problem is, get a trip number, and find out how long they say it's going to take care of it.
What is
and
a trip that, number?
To identify, to keep track if they're... To give you a numerical number so you know exactly where you are in getting it repaired. Okay. So when you call, you don't ask the same question, just give them the number. My problem is, even in Mandarin, when we did this, it took forever to get things repaired, and I think that's terrible. With all the money, think of it this way. When I came on board, the budget was less than $1 billion. Mayor Curry's in this budget is 1.395, almost $1.4 billion. Why aren't they doing more with sidewalks and a quality of life issues like better parks and things like that and taking care of the roads?
Well, they're spending too much time on JEA and pensions.
Exactly.
That's where the sexiness of politics is right now.
Well, right now, I think
they've got those 13 board members. They got to reimburse six figures. So that's where do you think the priority is going to be?
Okay, just on a local level, briefly, what do you think? Is that vote ever going to get done?
Of course it is.
Okay, I will say almost not. Because that pension deal that they did for themselves has so enamored the other side. The mayor might say whatever he's going to do, but this is a failed attempt by this mayor to get something done that will never happen.
Matt, they don't care.
They're going to get the six figures.
No, it's going to pass the board. It's going to go to the city. Everybody's going to talk about all the money. It's going to go to the coffers. It will pass, and it will be a disaster.
It will. Okay, let's put it this way. It will never pass the city council. It will, at this point in time, because of that pension and how
the city
arrogant
council
they were.
Will not be able to resist
yes, they will.
The lure of
yep.
money.
I can tell you, because everybody's counting the votes, and I'm sure the mayor eventually will count the votes. He only has four or five people interested in saying yes. There is a 15 of them, up to 15, maybe 30, that absolutely are not going to vote for it. And that's what he should be looking at.
So you're saying JEA is not going to sell?
No. The board, right now, the board is so disrespectful of the citizens of Jackson. I wrote a letter to the editor, basically said this, if you saw the paper a couple days ago. But my point is this. They're not reading the documents. You telling me that the council auditor looked at that deal and saw how they're going to enrich themselves, and the board didn't read the documents and didn't say anything? Oh, my Lord, if I were a board member, I'd quit because I would be embarrassed.
Well,
wow. That's how hard it is. I'm telling you, I will tell you this. Because of the behavior of the board and the administration, it's like a tsunami coming, and they don't see it yet. And pretty soon, it's going to overwhelm them no matter what their polls say.
All right. Well, we are up on a break. Sorry, interview talked about a few things here, primarily as it relates to the city of Jacksonville.
Sorry.
If you got a comment or question, feel free to weigh in. And of course, Ron's got his standing question. Do you get Thanksgiving Day catered, or do you have mom or dad or whole family cook it? We do a combination this year of both. We're having the turkey catered, but everything else we're going to make ourselves. And we mentioned this last hour. We found a guy, friend of my daughter's, she and her husband, they have a catering business where you take them the uncooked turkey and they'll either smoke it for you, roast it, or deep fry it. And you have to pick it up Wednesday afternoon and then pop it in the oven. And we can either have it as a centerpiece, or they'll slice it up for you in nice little slices and put it in aluminum pans, you know, one pan for the white meat, the other for the dark meat.
You're going to say your comment again?
He's always got to be about race.
It's about color. It's always about color.
Yeah, dark weed. You know, some people like it. It's a different kind of taste and texture for the two, so you don't want to mix them up necessarily if they'll break.
I always find the leg and the thigh is so much more moist and tender. And
right.
So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard. I kind of mix it together.
Yeah, I do both. But how are you celebrating Thanksgiving? And do you have a preference between fried? That's the new thing that people are doing these days. Although Ron mentioned it's dangerous, you know, at your own risk. We don't encourage you to place yourself in danger, you know. Or, you know, maybe deep fried or roasted or smoked. Let's take a look at what's going on the roads right now. 95 North at Southside Boulevard, there's been an accident. And in St. Johns County, State Road 9B North at a racetrack, there's a broken down car.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying. The first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Days before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, look.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
The Ed Dean Extra is the podcast you can catch anytime right after the morning show, Roger, right here on WBOB. What do they have to do?
All you have to do is go to our website, WBOB.com, click Ed Dean Extra, and you can hear Ed and Roger anytime you want, even if it's not during the morning.
And by the way, we talk about issues that normally we missed and didn't talk about on the morning show.
And it's completely unfiltered, and sometimes you'll hear us say things we won't say on the air.
The podcast, Ed Dean Extra, just go to WBOB.com.
Today we'll have a mix of sunshine and clouds and a high of 79. Tonight mainly clear. 59 will be the overnight low. Right now it's 51 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation is seen as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical hair relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers. President Trump held a rally in Sunrise, Florida on Tuesday, the first public event for the president of the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from New York City to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach. And Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement for the upcoming legislative session.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Ed Dean Show on WBOB, number 904-831-0600. No, this is not Ed's voice. This is the voice of Ron Davis. I'm here covering for Ed this morning. And with me, I have our good friend Matt Schellenberg and Roger Henderson keeping us under control in the booth there. We were talking very briefly about the JEA and the, you know, whether or not it would even get out of that board.
Right.
You had written, I guess, a couple opinion pieces, or you know, one of them was published just recently. Right. You had wanted to follow up.
Yeah, I did two things. I wanted to let you know. Now, in Jacksonville, always, if there's an issue in any community throughout Florida, whatever, wherever, if there's an issue, you need to let the elected official know that it represents you and send it to them, saying there's a problem with roads or things like that. It just is not Jacksonville. You need to do that. But on the JEA, the mayor came out the other day and said we have a new negotiating team. Most of the negotiating team was JEA employees. Now, the new negotiating team is the mayor, and they're all under the thumb of the mayor and the office of the chief operating officer. So
the look on your face right now.
I'm just baffled that they think this works. Now, Stephanie Birch is a acquaintance. I know her. She's the assistant chief operating officer that works directly under Brian Hughes, the CAO, and the mayor. And then you have Rondell Barnes, a very nice guy, but he works under Joe Grevey, who's under Brian Hughes, and he's a financial guy. And then you have Robert Smith. He's a nice guy. He just started working for the city about a year and a half ago in the engineering department. The question is twofold. They all work under the mayor and Brian Hughes. They're going to say, yay, yay, yay. Question is this. Do they have the skill? Negotiating is a skill. So don't you think that we should get professionals to, if no matter what's happening, we should get professionals to do this? And why would you appoint somebody on the negotiating team that they all work for the mayor? And by the way, they work at the mayor at the discretion of the mayor. So if they're not doing what the mayor wants them to do or going in the direction, they could be easily fired and dismissed. It is the most rude, disgusting, arrogant. And any other word
wouldn't
you might want.
Any wanna, negotiating team they'll work at the pleasure of the mayor's office or no?
He has a new negotiating team. Those are the three.
Okay,
they're nice people. I'm not arguing the point, but they all work for the mayor. The mayor's going to tell them not necessarily what to do, but I'm pretty sure somehow they know exactly the direction they want to go, and they're going to do exactly what the mayor and Brian Hughes tells them to
do.
Who
should they answer to if you have any negotiating
team? I think no.
These professionals you talk about.
You basically outsiders. Complete outsiders. And so it's indiscriminate.
Who do they report to, these outsiders? Who should they report to?
Clearly not the board of JEA, and they should report to the city council. The city council should take over this abomination of selling JEA. And understand, 12 years ago, I wrote a letter that we should sell JEA to pay off the pension. I was partly right because 14 years ago, the pension problem was $30, $40 million. When I left office, it was $250 million problem. Mm. But anyway, my point is this. I am not in favor of selling at this point under the conditions and it is right now because it is I wouldn't say fake, but it is a place where the mayor wants to sell it to Florida Power and Light, and it looks like inside baseball.
All right.
All right. So
that should get people.
switching gears just a little bit here.
Matt on the soapbox this morning.
Did you all
it sounds like it, isn't it? It's terrible. I'm sorry.
And by the way, if you would like to agree or disagree with Matt, feel free to call in at 904-831-0600. You know, we are here, even though Ed's off. You know, Ron, Matt, and I, we're here. So we'd love to talk with you.
And look, this is a great opportunity to call and talk about what you want. You don't have the control, the direction.
Exactly.
There's something you've been wanting to talk about.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 904-831-0600. Did y'all get a chance to watch the president's rally down in South Florida?
I did not see it, other than I just saw a few clips and headlines. You know, I was, you know, commuting, getting my mom up for Thanksgiving. So, no, I did not.
How about you, Matt?
I did not see it, but I'm kind of curious. Did he have a big crowd?
Yes. My wife was getting pictures from some people that were down there, and it was just a packed arena. It was a sea of red in there.
It's not a very big town, is it? Seabreeze. Is it Seabreeze or Sea?
But it's near Miami, though, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I'm kind of embarrassed. It's one of the four and 20 cities. I don't know.
It was a good size arena, and there was it was completely packed. But here's one of the things that's absolutely baffled me, and I didn't realize this was an issue. But coming out of that, evidently, you know, there's an issue with the left now wanting to change the name Thanksgiving. And call in. Tell us what you think of this. 904-831-0600. Have we now reached the tipping point where we have just gone? We're stepping into the abyss of insanity.
Yeah.
What do they want to change Thanksgiving to? This is the thing that drives me nuts. In the era of political correctness, they want to change words. Well, the different word has the same meaning. How long before we change that word, because that then becomes offensive because it was related to the original word? I just can't imagine what goes through people's mind, you know, to want to change the word Thanksgiving. Give us a call, 904-831-0600. Do you agree? Are we in the abyss of insanity, or is this something that's necessary? What do you think, Matt?
I think that, you know, people need to have too much time on their hands. I find that where we're going, people are unwilling to just laugh at themselves. It's always, everything's offensive. And what is it? Would be good is actually to know a little bit of history, how it came about. And yes, there's some, you know, we are not perfect human beings, and there's some people that do things bad. But to actually have a conversation about changing the name of Thanksgiving when it's a beautiful time of the year that almost everybody that I talk to now on the street, I go, Happy Thanksgiving. I get a smile back and they say it back. What a beautiful time of the year between now and the end of the year to actually enjoy. You know, we always are rushed. And yes, we're going to shopping, which is crazy time. But I think that generally speaking, people love this time of year. And it's the small minority that say something stupid like, let's change the name, that it gets all the publicity, and basically we should ignore it.
Well, apparently the president referred to that in his rally last night, saying that he says Merry Christmas, but the PC people, they want to use Happy Holidays because, you know, leaving Christmas, which, you know, Christ is the root word, offends certain people. Now they want to change Thanksgiving. I couldn't figure out to what, though. What do they want to change Thanksgiving
to? Don't know, but remember about a decade ago, a lot of retail stores went from Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays.
Well,
it actually has moved back to Merry Christmas.
Well, one suggestion for the Thanksgiving was National Day of Mourning.
What?
Mourning, you know, which,
for
of course,
the turkey?
Mourning as an M-O-U-R-N-E, as an awake. you know, this is one of those things where, you know, we laugh about it, but again, we're now talking in the context. I now say Happy Holidays.
Really?
And it drives me nuts when I do that because I've just defaulted to that, right. And I should be saying and give us a call, tell us what you think, 904-831-0600. I think we should be saying Merry Christmas.
Well, then
what it is.
I
have got myself doing that. Now, I certainly don't ever see myself saying Happy Mourning Day or Day of Mourning.
Happy Day of National Day of Mourning. You know, I alternate between the two. You know, I go sometimes, I say Merry Christmas sometimes. And, you know, to be frank with you,
Roger.
Happy Holidays rolls off the tongue a little easier. And, you know, the root of holiday is Holy Day. So I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, I get the fact that some people don't want to say Christ, so, you know, I conclude that as well, depending on, you know.
Well, you know, you have the Jewish holidays during the same time.
Yeah, you got Hanukkah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I guess I don't have a problem with happy holidays in this, but you know, Thanksgiving is not a religious based holiday. I mean, it may have had some religion aspects to it when we first started it, but at the end of the day, it's just, you know, political correctness is, I get a sense that we now reach a tipping point. You know, we're either going to just fall headfirst into insanity, or we've got to put some brakes on it at some point in time. What do y'all think? 904-831-0600. Let's go to Jason. Jason, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm well.
First of all, are you going to be cooking your Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, or are you having it catered?
We will be cooking. So I take a lot of pride in cooking our Thanksgiving dinner.
So you're like Roger. You want to have your house permeate with the smell of roasting turkey.
Well, how are you going to cook it? Is it going to roast it or smoke it in the backyard, or are you going to deep fry it?
So we had a deep fried earlier in the week, and the experiment went well, so I think we're going to try to replicate it.
You're going to have a ton of leftovers.
And by the way, now is the time to buy an extra turkey, put it in the freezer for later on, because that's going to be 48 cents a pound.
And if he messes up, he may have to bring out the good result night. From earlier in the week.
Yeah. Yeah,
so yeah, my wife said the same thing last night.
Yeah, I got my bonus turkey in the freezer now. So,
so Jason, have we headed into the abyss of insanity?
Well, we have headed into the abyss on a lack of logic. So follow me for just one second. If smoking is wrong, then we should ban cigarettes, right? But they don't ban cigarettes. They just ban where you can use them and the circumstances with which you can smoke them. If vaping is wrong, we should ban vaping. But they don't do that. And they know that because it's a bridge too far, because there's a tax revenue. There is a voting base that would absolutely lose their stuff if we banned smoking, if we banned vaping. If Thanksgiving is wrong, ban Thanksgiving. Just eliminate it as a holiday. But they won't do it because parents get 3 days off to travel with their kids, because they get 2 days off from work for Thursday and Friday, and it's a paid holiday, and it's a national holiday, and they know that's a bridge too far. If it's wrong, get rid of it. But if it's not wrong, then shut up.
Okay. All right.
No.
Well put. Well, Jason, happy Thanksgiving, or to others who don't want it, happy National Day of Mourning coming up for you tomorrow. Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Hey, have a great one.
Okay. You're listening to The Ed Dean Show. Ed out today. Having a few days off for Thanksgiving. Well deserved. He works hard. And we're taking your calls today. I'm Roger, along with attorney Ron Davis and the mayor of Mandarin, Matt Schellenberg. Call in and you can share your thoughts on Thanksgiving Day at 904-831-0600, 904-831-0600 on the Ed Dean Morning Show.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House Judiciary Committee is set to take over the impeachment probe of President Trump, the panel scheduling a December 4th hearing. The president telling a rally in Sunrise, Florida last night that the impeachment inquiry is illegitimate, following on the heels of the discredited Russia collusion allegations. From east to west, powerful storms already messing with holiday travel. Huge snowfall in the Rockies, parts of the Midwest, hurricane-force winds in parts of the Pacific Northwest, and high winds could be a problem in New York tomorrow and could ground those huge balloons that are part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. On Wall Street, stock futures are higher. Right now, Dow futures up about 6 points, NASDAQ futures better by 18, S&P futures up 3 points ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Nikki Whaley. Brianna Williams' car appears to have played a key role in finding her daughter's remains. The body of Jacksonville's 5-year-old Taylor Williams was found in Alabama 2 weeks ago. And sources tell First Coast News they used info gathered from the car of the girl's mother. They got access to the car's GPS info to track where Brianna had gone. The 27-year-old is in jail and could be charged with the death of her daughter once more details come in on how the girl died. A child is dead after it was found unresponsive at a daycare in Jacksonville. The JSO says the one-year-old was put down for a nap yesterday at Happy Acres Ranch Daycare, and 2 hours later, it was found unresponsive. No cause of death has been revealed. The state health department says 99 cases of lung injury have been reported as of last Saturday. That's an increase of 5 cases from the previous week. These have been linked to vaping statewide. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning. If you're at 95 going north at Southside Boulevard, there's been a crash there. Several cars are involved. They're now all in the right emergency lane. If you're at State Road 9B north in St. John's County, Racetrack Road, a broken down car there. And on the Buckman Bridge going south into Mandarin, another car there has stalled. Today we'll see a mix of sunshine and clouds and a high of 79. Tonight mainly clear, 59 the low. Right now, 51 here at WBOB. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump held a rally in Sunrise, Florida Tuesday, the first public event for the president here in the Sunshine State since officially changing his legal residence from New York City to Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach. Governor Ron DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory e-verify requirement in the upcoming legislative session. And State Senator Randolph Bracey has filed a bill that would prohibit discrimination based on a person's hairstyle. The legislation is deemed as beneficial to black women in Florida who feel pressured to wear wigs or use chemical hair relaxers, fearing not doing so could hurt their careers.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600. 0600 or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Ed Dean Show on WBOB. The phone number 904-831-0600. I'm here with our good friend Matt Schellenberg and Roger Henderson covering and making sure that we do what we can to help fill in these shoes of Ed. Big question this morning. There's evidently a move out there to change the name of Thanksgiving. For those of you traveling, listening to us this morning on the busiest travel holiday, does that make you feel better about going home for Thanksgiving and visiting family, or does that change your opinion at all? Let's go to Doc. Doc, have we dipped into the abyss of insanity with this now?
Oh, yeah, we have. But Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. And also, it's a time to save money, because if you talk about two things, we're thankful for that Jesus, thankful for Jesus in America, and then you save money by talking about our great President Trump. That's how you save money. The family don't want to buy.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. It's you invite your in-laws over and talk about politics. You don't have to worry about them over Christmas.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doc.
Happy Thanksgiving, Doc.
Same to you guys.
Let's go to our newsmaker line, Kevin Darby,
who is the editor of FloridaDaily.com, on the line with us. By the way, huge online publication. President Trump, I understand, Kevin, has shouted some of the articles out on Twitter at least a couple of times, as well as Governor Ron DeSantis, who a lot of people read it. In fact, Ed was telling me that, we track some of the what do they call the analytics on who's, from what parts of the country people are reading. Hugely popular in the Washington, D.C. area for some reason, right?
Yeah, we do write quite a bit about Congress, about the Florida delegation and their impact on Capitol Hill. Yes, President Trump has shared our stories on Facebook, other social media. So has the governor, other key leaders on both sides of the aisle. Donna Shalala actually did that earlier this week. So there are people from both sides of the aisle who do share our content, which is we're very grateful for on this Thanksgiving week.
Well, fabulous. Okay, now we're going to ask you the question we've been asking of our listeners. Are you going to do Thanksgiving catered, or are you going to have the missus cook for you, or are you going to help her
out?
Well,
don't discriminate. Wait a second. Yeah, that was sexist. Is he cooking for the missus?
Gosh, he's segregating his turkey.
No.
Now he's sexist? Is there no line that you won't cross on this Thanksgiving holiday?
I also said, are you going to, with her cook? I'm assuming
she did not.
I'm actually complimenting the lady, saying they do a better job cooking than us guys.
I would agree with you.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
We are actually doing a family style meal here in Tallahassee. My wife has already put together a few pies for the event. They keep me out of the, with the exception of when it comes to basically cutting the ham, serving it, the ham
I generally stay out of it. I may have gotten degrees from Trinity College, but my education came at Honey Baked Ham, learning how to deal with a spiral cut ham over the years.
Well, when you're not really cutting it, they've already cut that thing for you, haven't they?
Well, you still got to serve it, Matt.
I'm sorry, you're a server.
Line. Use it.
Do you get paid
the...
for this?
No.
It's a tough, labor-intensive job, Kevin, and we're just happy you're able to help out.
Thank you. Yes, that's about as much as I can do. Otherwise, I'm a disaster in the kitchen.
Well, I guess I'm going to be over in the area there Friday and Saturday. Are we going to get a chance to see you when we're over there?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, Ron.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to seeing you and Ed. It'll be great.
Now, Kevin, there's a couple things that come to attention the last couple days. One was that one of the things that's being reported is that Governor DeSantis is urging the Florida legislature to pass a mandatory verify requirement. Mm-hmm. Where do you see that going? What are you hearing over there?
That is going to be a very tough fight, and it's not the left, folks. Stop thinking, the liberals are going to stand up against DeSantis. It's not the liberals here. It's the business community. The business community absolutely does not want this. It is why when Rick Scott proposed it in 2010, when he beat Bill McCollum, he never moved on it in those 8 years. The business community does not like E-Verify. They think it hurts employers. They think it adds more regulations to them. I think DeSantis will get the proposal through the House. The Senate is going to be a very different story. And, yes, Republicans are technically in control of it, if anyone's in control of the Florida Senate. That's where the action is going to be. DeSantis could probably get it across the finish line. But to do that, he's going to have to give things up. He's going to have to make a deal, and that's where the action is going to be in the next, once we're back from the holidays, that's where the action is going to be in January and February in this town.
Does Florida really have a problem with a high employment of illegal immigrants? This is actually necessary, or is this really just a regulatory issue?
It was needed a few years ago. I do think most businesses have cracked down on it. The question is going to be where does it go? Does it hurt agriculture? Look, Florida agriculture has been taking a hit in recent years, largely due to citrus greening and what it's done to our orange and grapefruit industry. That'll be one area. The other area is going to be tourism. Will E-Verify in an increasingly woke America, in an increasingly woke millennial generation, Gen Zers, will this hurt Florida's tourism? Will people want to protest going to Mickey Mouse? Will they want to protest going to the beaches? That will be another argument you'll hear from the business community. I don't think that one has quite the merit. I think people are going to go to the beaches and Mickey and Walt Disney World regardless. But that's where this is going to be. Is it needed? That remains to be seen. I don't think Florida has quite the problem of illegals as some states do on the border.
If that's the case, then why... why would there be an argument that it would hurt tourism if there's not an issue and E-Verify comes in? How is verifying that somebody's actually a citizen or has the proper documentation, in the way of work visas or otherwise to work? How is that a polarizing issue in terms of this if it's not a real problem?
Well, the question is, how is it seen? Is this going to be seen as cracking down on Hispanics? And let's be very clear. Look, one of the reasons why we have seen 126 million tourists last year, a record number, I think we're on target to hit about 130. Hopefully, the third quarter is a little weak, but hopefully the fourth quarter brings that home. A large part of that segment of those tourists is international travel. It's Brazil, folks. If you go down to Walt Disney World, if you go down to I-4, you notice it in a heartbeat. The question is, will E-Verify, will that be blown out of proportion in, say, Bogota or Mexico City or San Juan? Well, that's a little different for me, Puerto Rico. But will that hurt us? Will that hurt perception?
Kevin,
that's what it comes down to.
Are we suggesting, though, that our business community, they're knowingly hiring illegal immigrants and they want to be able to get away with it because they can pay them less?
I don't think most businesses don't, but let's be very clear. If you start cracking down on immigration and immigration status on American agriculture, get ready to pay twice as much as you do right now in Publix, okay? That's where the problem is, agriculture.
Kevin, you mentioned Disney several times.
Sure.
Disney spends a lot of money as lobbyists over there. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that they're not so keen on this so much.
They are not very keen on it. That's correct.
Okay.
Most of the
restaurant and lodges will be against it. The Florida Chamber of Commerce has been very hesitant on E-Verify over the years. You're not going to see them come out in public. This will be done very quietly. It'll be done through committees. It'll be done off stages.
Is that because of the cost of implementing the regulations? Because, I mean, when I hear that and I hear that they're opposed to it, that just tells me, well, then we do have a problem with employment of illegal immigrants. Or is it that's not the problem, it's the cost to implement it?
Both. Both.
Well, how about regulation? Just additional regulation that people hate.
That's part of it as well. I mean, the business community has been fighting regulations for years. Generally, the folks in Tallahassee have played ball with them. This is a different story. Again, I do think DeSantis is going to, at the end of the day, we'll probably get this. But if there's a roadblock, it's going to be in the Senate. And again, the usual argument was the left. It's those horrible Democrats. Not in this case. This is going to be from the business community. They will committee it to death. They will also talk about, we need to see a study. How much will it impact? You'll hear that kind of rhetoric coming out from opposition. They may try to kick the can down the road.
Kevin, is this something that the governor's going to die on the sword on?
That's the question. I don't think it is. I think there are bigger priorities out there.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking.
Yes, namely with the teacher pay raise.
Yeah,
that's the high profile issue he has put it all on the line on. That's a very different constituency. That's the Senate will be on board there. That's going to be a tougher one for him to sell in the House.
Well, if you give some the first year teachers $10,000, you're going to have to move everybody else up. So, what's the actual cost on that teacher thing? It's $1 billion. It's got to be billions.
They're talking $625,000. I don't think that's the case at all. Look,
higher or lower?
Yeah, I think it's going to be much higher.
Yeah,
let me be very candid, Matt. This is an issue. I don't think it's going to be a headache for Florida now. That is going to be an issue in 3 to 5 years because we know what happens. Revenue dries up. We can't pay $47,500 for all teachers. So counties, Baker County, Putnam County. Don't you need to? You're not paying $47,500. You got to pay them. That's where it's going to be. It won't be your wealthy large counties like Broward or Duval or even St. John's that'll be the problem. It's going to be your small counties.
Palatka. Palatka. Okay. Yeah.
Would they be in a position to grandfather or exempt any of these counties under any current proposal?
That's going to be the tough one. That's going to be under the current proposal. No, and that's the thing. If you're going to have a statewide mandate like this, there'll be funding at the start. But the question is, where will it be when times get rough? We saw it 12 years ago. Revenue dried up across the state. You're basically going to force small, rural, not so wealthy counties to raise their property taxes to cover this mandate.
Yeah, very interesting question. I saw an article at FloridaDaily.com on a bill that was introduced by State Senator Bracey from Central Florida that, may not, ring any bells with the average person, most people listening right now, but with black women particularly, this is something that they probably will, perk up their ears towards. The legislation is introduced that will bar discrimination against people based upon their hairstyles. Now, we're in an era right now where the wind so much is on the backs of Republicans. They're seeing more black votes for Republican candidates than ever before in recent history. How do you see that panning out, this hairstyle discrimination bill?
I don't think it's going to make it at the end of the day. I do think, and Bracey's been very adamant about this, talked about that with Mike Simon from our team. He says, look, this is to get the ball rolling. It's to get the conversation started. He wants to begin to raise awareness. This is a fight I think Randolph Bracey is prepared to spend a few years on. I don't think it's going to go anywhere this year, but I do think it is starting a conversation. And, Republicans, so at least in the Senate, I can't speak for the House, are a little more open to the idea than they would have been. They say, it makes sense once he explains it to us, once we hear more about that. This is one, to be very candid, Roger, I think public input during committees often cannot be very helpful. this is one where I think if people can share their stories, I think you can see a little bit of an impact. I think this is one where you will see a little bit of momentum. We probably won't clear the finish line, but I think this is going to be one where you'll see it moving slowly but surely in the years to come.
Right. When I was younger, I knew a flight attendant who was a black lady who had braids, and she was let go from the airline industry because they didn't like her braids, and she decided she'd do something else for a living because she wanted to keep her braids.
That's horrible.
Now, yeah, I mean, one other question, why is it a problem with women only? Because the black gentlemen also have it, but also white men are doing it too.
You're right. It's not just, you know, dreadlocks, right. Probably the biggest issue there, but there are also other hairstyles that are more natural that are not dreadlocks. They're braids. There's this big movement right now with black women called natural hair. Many of them have used relaxers their whole lives, and they found that it leads to baldness in women, that makes their hair more flat and, you know, naturally genetically, black women, their hair is not naturally flat. So this would include afros, it would include braids, okay, as well as dreadlocks.
By the way, I know all four of us that are talking, and we don't have that problem. We'll never have that problem.
Kevin, real quick, on the there's been, I guess just recently, Bradford County has joined Clay County and some of the others passing resolutions protecting the Second Amendment gun rights. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you know, there's this is protected anyway statutorily on the state level, indicating that counties or municipalities cannot pass legislation that restricts it. Do you see any movement? Are you hearing about any movement in Tallahassee regarding either on a state level joining these types of county actions where they're basically becoming sanctuary cities for the Second Amendment, or is that just kind of being ignored on the state level?
It's absolutely being ignored. Nobody wants to talk about this issue in 2020 at the state level. One thing I should know, most of these counties, such as Lake County, have passed resolutions. They haven't passed ordinances with teeth. That's going to be, I think, kind of where things go. Well, we passed a resolution. Nope, you didn't pass anything with teeth, though. That a lot of these sanctuary county declarations, when it comes to the Second Amendment, they're all political, and they don't actually have any enforcement. That's one of the problems. I think it's a song and dance and a show for conservatives and Second Amendment supporters to clap their hands while actually not doing a thing to protect them.
Kevin Derby, editor with the FloridaDaily.com. Kevin, it is always great to talk to you. I kind of wish, I enjoy it when you're over here. I wish you were over here with us today. I am looking forward. Hopefully I get to see you either Friday or Saturday if I can sneak out of the woods. But have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving, Kevin. And I apologize. I had said Kevin Derby when I first got on. I apologize, Kevin. Kevin Derby.
Oh, you know, that's my fault. I misspelled your name.
I made the mistake of looking at Ed's
he's
thing.
He's KD.
As soon as I said it, I wanted to kick myself, but I apologize about that, Kevin.
I appreciate it. I'm Irish, not English. But anyway, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's take a look at what's going on the roads right now. On the Buckman Bridge south into Mandarin, a broken-down car now on the left inside breakdown lane. Butler Boulevard east around San Pablo to Hodges. We're seeing some backup in 295 going south and around U.S. 17. There's backup there as well.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. Hundreds of thousands of believers across America who share each other's medical bills. For over 25 years, they've trusted in the MediShare model because it works. You'll be amazed at what you'll save, up to $500 every month. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forevermark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forevermark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forevermark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forevermark diamonds, And in fact, all of the companies in the Forevermark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forevermark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forevermark network. And in fact, we were one of the first five in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forevermark diamonds
in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
The IRS and state tax agencies don't wait until after the holidays to demand payment or take collection action. J. David Tax Law and our firm of experienced tax attorneys live and work in this community, and we're standing by to defend you or your business and any IRS or state tax debt. Helping people in our community is what we do. And in this season of giving, we invite you to join us in our support of worthy local charities like Dreams Come True, Sanctuary on 8th Street, Cars for Our Troops, Rethreaded, Faith for Freedom, and PAX's Canine Cure. These organizations do a wonderful job for those in need. At J. David Tax Law, we believe strongly in being a responsible corporate citizen by providing funding to charities that support our community. We invite you to do the same, and we wish you and your families a happy and safe holiday season. If you have tax problems, call us now at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777 for a no-cost consultation. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
The 2019 Toys for Tots Car and Truck Show returns to the WW Ranch, featuring over 200 classic cars, hot rods, and custom trucks. Enjoy live music from Bo and the Burners, great food, and some of the most awesome cars and trucks around. To enter your car, bring a toy valued at $20. And for general admission, just bring a small toy or a canned food donation. The 2019 Toys for Tots Car and Truck Show, December 14th from 10 till 2 at the WW Ranch on Otis Road. For more info, call 463-4372. That's 463-4372.
Today we'll see a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 79. Tonight mainly clear, 59 the low right now, 51 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
Good morning. You're on the Ed Dean Show, 904-831-0600 on WBOB. No, this is not the voice of Ed Dean. Ed Dean was crazy enough to have me sit in his chair this morning. This is Ron Davis. I'm here with, and I tell you what, this studio is just not big enough. The lights came on. There was soft music. You know, when Matt showed up this morning, we got Lake Ray in here this morning. And I tell you what, it got even brighter.
Hey, it is. Lake's been a great asset to the city.
It is. And we have Cord Bird coming on here shortly. And I tell you what, we may have to move to a bigger studio.
Well, I'm thinking that having two lawyers out of four is not a good place to be, is what I'm thinking.
And we're here with Roger Henderson. Okay, so one of the things that, if you listen to the Trump rally yesterday in South Florida, one, you saw that it continues to pack these venues, absolutely packs them. I don't know what was outside, but I do know from what I saw inside, it's just a sea of red. And there must have been 20,000 people inside that arena, 15,000-20,000. It was a regular kind of arena sized area, but it was just packed, and it was packed, 360 degrees. But we also learned that the left is wanting to, they have a problem with the name of Thanksgiving. And, give us a call in 904-831-0600. Have we reached the tipping point of insanity? They wanted us to change Christmas to Happy Holidays. The religious connotations were offensive to other people. Call us in. Those on the left, what do you find offensive about the word Thanksgiving?
From what I hear, Ron, they're saying that it represents oppression and the genocide of Native Americans.
Well, call us in. Talk to us. Tell us, is that it? What is there anybody out there that finds the word Thanksgiving offensive? Has political correctness finally gone too far? Give us a call, 904-831-0600.
Ron, I was going to say, because Lake told us some information that I did not know. When was the first Thanksgiving in the United States?
It was June 22nd, 1564.
Where at?
It was at Fort Caroline. When the French came in, the first thing they did is the Huguenots came in. First thing they did was celebrate it and had a Thanksgiving celebration.
Right here in Florida. Okay.
Yeah, right here in Florida.
Not that's only good. In Florida, but right around the corner from here.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Fun fact to know about. On the roads right now, the Buckman Bridge going south into Mandarin, there is a broken down car and other big problems in the roads at the present time.
I'm Lou Dobbs. New home sales dip slightly. Wall Street ramps down for the Thanksgiving Day break. And Kenya deals a blow to tobacco companies. Those stories next.
Hi, this is Sebastian Gorka. Over the last few months, my fellow Salem talk show host and I have been speaking across the country on the War for America's Soul Tour. Thousands of people have attended these sold-out events in cities across the United States. We talked candidly about the attacks against our Constitution, the push for radical socialism, open borders, and other threats to our republic. Not everyone could get a ticket, so we filmed the events in Sacramento, California, and Tampa, Florida. These were incredible nights with a few surprises. You can now watch the events on demand or even buy the DVD. It's a front row seat to watch me, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Larry Elder, and even Michelle Malkin. We discuss the critical issues that are at stake ahead of our next presidential election, and we give you the truth. To watch it now, go to watchsalemmedia.com. You will be glad you did. That's watchsalemmedia.com.
Wall Street set for normal activity today, but will be ramping down for the Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. All major markets and brokerage firms will be closed on the holiday, but will resume on Black Friday as the Christmas shopping season officially kicks off. Sales of new homes slightly lower in October compared to September, but remain above 2018 levels, helped by lower mortgage interest rates. The Commerce Department reports sales of single-family homes slipped about 0.7% last month. Sales were up in the West and Midwest, but fell in the Northeast and the South. Kenya's Supreme Court dismissed a British American tobacco challenge to Kenya's fees they charge on the tobacco industry to help people affected by smoking. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern, on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
25 years has seen a lot of changes, but one thing hasn't changed. The quality of CopyFax, a family-owned business taking pride in their service and products. Back up all of your business files easily with CopyFax. Full color is the same low cost as black ink. CopyFax is ideal for anything from in-home office to corporate multi-user. CopyFax is proud to serve our local military. Visit CopyFax.com. That's CopyFax.com.
A mix of sun and clouds today, the high 79 degrees. This evening, mainly clear, 59 the low. Right now, 51 here at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Good morning. You're on the Ed Dean Show. On WBOB, phone number 904-831-0600. Feel free to call in and talk about anything you want this morning, some of the topics of discussion. We're here actually with Matt Schellenberg, our good friend, Lake Ray, and Roger Henderson is in there making sure that he can press any button necessary to block me out when I say or do something I shouldn't be doing.
Hopefully I won't have to do that, though.
So far we've been lucky, two hours into it.
All right.
The big question right now this morning is evidently there is a move to change the name of Thanksgiving. We're going to come back in after the break here. We're going to talk to Carol. Call in. Tell us, do you think this is a good idea, bad idea, or we have dipped into the abyss of insanity?